everyone. Welcome to another actually solo episode of V the People. I feel a little guilty that my wife isn't here. I heard a lot of very positive feedback from our solo-ish episode 2 weeks ago. And while I loved having her with me as my, you know, person to banter with, and also specifically that day, which I don't know if I had shared the day of, but I had a mammogram that day and all was well. I do have to get mammograms from here on out every year just because of family history. And even though I wasn't really nervous that day, I knew it would be fine. I just felt like it was so great to have my wife with me. And right before they took me back for my appointment, she had asked me if there was anything she could do for me that day. And I knew I had to record later that night, and I was just like, hey, can you do my episode with me just to like take some of the pressure off, less prep, and just kind of going with the flow? And she was like, how can I say no, as you're literally about to go back for your mammogram? So I didn't purposefully do that. I know it sounds like a manipulation tactic, but it wasn't consciously. So anyways, that got real deep real quick. I didn't feel like I needed her today, and I think she will be back by popular demand, but we have a lot to catch up on. There's a lot of TV content out there. There's a lot happening in the Bravo sphere, and I just have some important things to get off my chest, okay? So first and foremost, as you know, I like to start with what I've been watching. Okay. First of all, if you're not in the Bravo sphere, I apologize. I think this is just kind of where I'm at, and what's been happening with Summer House has been all consuming, and the parasocial relationship I have with these people is sometimes concerning. I recognize they're real people. I feel like they're my friends. And reunion part one aired last night. I had literal heart palpitations. I was super anxious. And I just have a couple of quick points I want to make about it. So even going back to like the Scandoval of it all, Vanderpump Rules, I remember obviously not defending Raquel at all, but I really feel like in a lot of ways she was so young and inexperienced, and I think like genuinely beaten down in a different way than what we've witnessed with Kyle and Amanda. And so there were parts of me that was like, you know what, they're really going in on this person who I just at the end of the day don't think understands, and we need to be careful when it comes to people's mental health. That being said, this time around, reunion part one, I need everyone to be harsher on Amanda. I expected her to come in with genuine accountability and remorse and emotional intelligence. And I think even just starting off with like a sincere, I'm so sorry, and I know nothing I can say today is going to take back the pain I've caused, but this is the place that I'm in, and I'd love to be able to at least explain it and like give you some relief. She immediately comes in defensive. She seems to not really show any emotion, which I did discuss with a girlfriend of mine. Like, is she just super medicated and unable to show emotion? And yet at the same time, like, we're seeing her pop off on Sierra. There's just a lot of layers, and it wasn't really until towards the end of last night's episode that I was feeling her finally get the heat and like the digs that she deserves and is warranted. I also, like, I remember, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I remember during the Vanderpump reunion after everything happened that like they barely focused on other things of the season. And I was okay with that. Everyone was okay with that. Like, we were watching Katie and Schwartz navigate their divorce. We were watching a lot of other things unfolding with friendships and storylines. I mean, there was a lot that happened before Scandoval, even though some people like to say it saved the show. If you really look back, like, there was a lot of other things happening. And Andy barely focused on it, barely touched on it, of which I was super appreciative because, frankly, at that point, I really didn't care. I think, like, the first two parts of that three-part reunion were focused on the scandal, and then maybe, like, they sprinkled in, like, 10 to 15 minutes of other things in the season during part three. That's kind of what I was hoping for. I felt like it was, like, 35 minutes of talking about West and Amanda, and then like 15, 20 minutes talking about other things that happened during the season. And then we circled back around. I just said to my best friend today, I would watch all 12 hours of raw footage of the reunion. I don't need the edits. I don't need pauses taken out. Like, I would watch the entire thing and probably fast forward through other parts of the season. Like, I love KJ. I think representation and talking about his mental health is obviously very important. So there are certain pieces that I think need to stay in now that I'm thinking about it. And like, I loved watching Bailey pop off on Ben, and I loved seeing him get called out. But like, again, I just feel like I need like 5 to 6 hours for my thirst to be quenched. And I'm so sorry if you have no idea what I'm talking about, but this is how psycho the Bravosphere is. And this is how invested people get emotionally. Like, I'm just one in a literal million. By the way, also quick side note, one of my favorite podcasters, Paige DeSorbo, speaking of Summer House, recently said that the reason women use filler words such as like or is because, from a historical linguistic standpoint, women would so often get interrupted that over time we've learned that filler words help us to continue to take up space from like a noise standpoint for essentially men to not interrupt us. So if you ever feel guilty for saying things like or just don't, because you're actually just fighting off the patriarchy. Okay. Anyways, all this to say, reunion part one, we barely scratched the surface. I'm gonna need to go back and watch it like 3 or 4 times to even feel a little caught up. It's so reminiscent to Vanderpump Rules. I know we shouldn't be comparing, but it's hard not to. It's very similar. And if anything, this to me is more upsetting because it really is like girl on girl bad behavior, if that makes sense. Not that Raquel and Ariana weren't best friends, but this just feels like a different level. And also, quick hot take, they haven't even brought up race, and Sierra has been so brave and sincere and authentic in sharing her experience as the first Black person in the house and what it meant to date a white man on the show and the feedback, the negative feedback and backlash she experienced online, and how that in itself was something that no one in the house could understand. And there's a part of me that's like, well, maybe they're trying to be mindful of not, you know, making it seem as if West and Amanda are being racist about it. But at the same time, like, call it out. It's her experience. And so I do think it plays a part 110%. So anyways, it's a lot of tea. It's a lot of really hot tea. If you're not invested, I don't know. I recommend watching, because it's a wild ride. Okay. And it's really nice for a little bit to like not be worried about midterms, you know, but that's just me. Anywho, some other fun things that I've recently watched, The Crash on Netflix. highly controversial to some, I assume. My wife and I spent a lot of time talking about this. Towards the very end, POTS was brought up, which you, if you don't know, is what my, one of the conditions that my wife suffers from. It stands for postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. And right now there's like some weird TikToks. I don't know if they would come across everyone's desk, but I think because my phone hears me talking about it a lot, it shows up in like my Instagram ads and in my TikTok algorithm. And some people like to say it's quote unquote like a trendy thing to have right now. Let me tell you, there's nothing trendy about it. It's debilitating. It's life altering. It's terrible. Like, there's really no other way to put it. And so I've witnessed my wife pass out. One of the things that is discussed in the crash, if you've watched it, if you haven't, it's a little bit of a spoiler, but not really. I mean, you know, it's about a crash. So one of the excuses that she gives the entire time, this girl is adamant that she doesn't recall anything, which, like, for sure, if you have presyncope, if you pass out, if you've ever passed out in your life, I'm sure you know that, like, prior to and a little bit after, you go black, you don't really know what's going on. So, got it. Fair. That being said, if my wife was in the driver's seat passing out, I could easily move her leg off the gas pedal. I know I could. I know I could. I've seen her go limp. She becomes like noodly. She doesn't stiffen up. She doesn't flatten out. It wouldn't be like all of her body weight going on the pedal. She would not be able to control her body. So I could very easily pull that e-brake and move her foot. And of course, it would be scary, but there's no way her foot would be to the floor for that amount of seconds at 100 miles per hour. So anyways, that's my one hot take. I do think it's a really well done documentary. I do think it's very much worth the watch. And then I think you should follow it up with some of the other content pieces that are out there. It's all over TikTok. There's a girl that she actually was incarcerated with that kind of gives her two cents, which is interesting. But then there's also different things that she's been on, like the Mean Girls murder series on Hulu is one of them. I think there might be a 2020 about it, but I'm not sure. If you're into documentaries, but you don't love like eerie true crime, this is a good one to watch because there's a lot to think about. There's a lot to noodle on, but you're not going to be like scared to go to bed after you watch it, which tends to be some of the things I recommend. So you're welcome. Okay. And then two things that I've watched that are full documentaries, movies, not series, that are really powerful, but also just make you super ashamed and embarrassed to be American currently. There's one called Sins of the Parents, which is about a prosecutor in, I think, Michigan, who is the first prosecutor, it's a woman, to ever charge the parents in the case of a school shooting. This was a school shooting that I believe there were three or four victims, and the school shooter was gifted a gun from his parents and had multiple signs of suffering with his mental illness and his headspace, and was kind of crying out for help in a way that a teenage boy would. And not only was this gun not locked or kept safe, his parents completely ignored a lot of the signs that he presented. So this prosecutor goes after the parents, and for this documentary, the crew had access to the prosecution team and her office, basically the weeks leading up to the trial. So it's really interesting if you're into law, if you're into the legal side of things. It's also really sad. I do think it's one of those things, personally, I believe that people should watch and be aware. Like, let these things move you. let them disturb you and rattle you a little bit, because it is something that I will think about every time I'm doing my research of who to vote for. And I just think it's one of those things that is important and you can't really argue with. So if you could like throw on a documentary when you're with someone who might think differently than you. The prosecutor actually grew up with guns. She believes in sensible gun laws. She's not necessarily saying, you know, ban all guns, but she's talking about assault rifles, semi-automatic weapons, and common sense gun laws. So pretty sad, but also interesting, complicated, and moving. That one's on Hulu. The other one that I haven't even been able to finish yet because it really was just making my blood boil to a point where I could have like, I could have just ran laps out of fury, is called Thoughts and Prayers, which is on HBO Max. And this one is actually about like active shooter drills, essentially, and all the ways and tactics in which we've thought to protect our kids from school shooters, which is like everything but common sense gun laws or banning certain weapons. So it is showing you the hypocrisy of it all, really, which I gathered in like the first 10 seconds of the film. It's directed by one of my favorite directors, which I follow her on Instagram. If you've ever watched, I think it's like Into the Fire is one of them. Female director. Everything she ever does, I feel like is so powerful and intentional in the way that she goes about it. And so I have always watched everything she puts out. And this was something that I had seen on Instagram a while ago and hadn't had the chance to watch it. So I went back to watch it. If you're really into political documentaries, I highly recommend, but it's definitely frustrating. So kind of some downers, and I'm sorry. That being said, the series finale of Hacks comes out this week. And if you are not a Hacks fan, what are you waiting for? You need to get on it. Jean Smart and Hannah Einbinder. I never know how to say her name. I want to say Trapper Keeper. But the lead up to tomorrow's episode is giving finality, which of course, obviously, duh, but in a way that I'm feeling is going to be like death or just something that's like so final, which again, I know sounds like duh and redundant, but I'm just not prepared. I'm not ready to say goodbye to these characters. I feel like they're my friends. I already cried at the second to last episode. So that's coming out this Thursday. And yeah, I'm just really sad. If you don't watch it, it's binge worthy. I believe this is the fifth season and it is the last. So really, really sad, but worth your time and energy. Such good acting, such good writing, such good storytelling. That's a lot. A lot of what I've been watching. I have also been really obsessed with just kind of rewatching Chelsea Handler's roast of Tony Hinchcliffe at the Kevin Hart roast. That's just a clip that I watch to lift my spirits. If you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up. Find it on your algorithm. It's incredible. You basically just watch a liberal woman going in on, I don't even want to say a conservative man, because he really just teeters right on the line of, I would say, white supremacy and like true chauvinism. So if you're just looking for something to like get your weekend started on the right foot, highly recommend. Highly recommend. Okay, so one of the other segments that I said I would talk about would be something exciting that our president is doing recently or has said recently. So if you're not aware, there is a temporary UFC arena actively being built on the south lawn of the White House. which is coinciding not only with America's 250th anniversary celebration, but also Donald Trump's 80th birthday. So reportedly, this is from The Guardian, what's being installed is a temporary octagon arena, stadium lighting, jumbotrons, seating for several thousand attendees, and the event infrastructure for the staging. This is all temporary, again, on the South Lawn for a UFC fight, which is just giving, it's really just giving class, integrity, dignity, all the things that I'm sure our founding fathers are just like super proud to see from afar. And I just wanted to like bring to your attention that some of the other really common and notable things that happen on the South Lawn is like the Easter egg hunt, the Marine One landing zone, tennis courts, some putting greens, a running track, vegetable gardens. For example, when Obama was in office, he installed a children's playground for his kids. Michelle Obama created the White House vegetable garden and beehives. But not to fear, don't worry. We have a UFC arena temporarily to really just represent what we're all about. You know, I didn't mean for this episode to get somewhat dark, but here we are. I promise I'm okay, you know, but it's just a reflection of the times. So last but not least, something we don't talk about enough. We are really turning the corner right into summer. It's the end of May. Memorial Day is come and gone. And skinny culture is like back in full swing, man. Like every time I see a picture of a celebrity or someone I haven't seen in a while, I just feel like I'm seeing that sunken in face, which is just showing like you are not getting the nutrients you need. Again, listen, if you're someone that you needed to go on medication to better your health, to help you with struggles that need help, I don't judge and I respect and support. That being said, celebrities, media, people who are in the public eye, people that our kids are looking at, we're looking at, they're constantly in our faces, they're in our feed, that probably didn't need to lose a pound, that are just microdosing Ozempic. It's hard. Like, it's hard to not let it affect you, and it's hard to not compare yourself or to wonder if you should be losing weight, if you should be getting ready for summer, whatever that might be. One of the things I love to read, if it's a quote that comes in my algorithm, I will always share it. If it's something like, every body is a summer body, okay? If you have a body, you can put on a suit, you can go in the ocean. And something I saw recently from my dear friend Ilona, who I'm just obsessed with, she talked about how a lot of the time gaining a couple pounds here and there comes from girls' nights, happy hours, chips and guac, dinner at your parents', making those memories. And thank God those extra pounds gave you those memories, because guess what? 100 years from now, no one is going to remember those couple of extra pounds that you put on or whatever it might be. They're going to remember how you made them feel, the time you spent with them, and how you made them laugh and made their life better. So I could talk about that for a really long time, but I just wanted to give everyone that little reminder of it's okay. We're going into summer and you don't have to subscribe to skinny culture just because everyone else is. And remember that it is a direct reflection of the patriarchy and women not taking up as much space. So take up space, babe. Eat a fucking cheeseburger, okay? You're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. All right. That being said, thanks everyone for listening. And I hope you have a great week.